Watershed Voice, community-supported journalism.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. It's me, Lane, coming back to you for Rivalry Week. It's Hate Week. It's been a long time coming. Michigan State football this weekend. Two powerhouses. Michigan, I believe, is number 6 in the AP. Michigan State's number 8. Big matchup this weekend over in East Lansing. We're going to break that down here. I'm going to lay out some keys to victory for both teams. Kind of give some fun little facts about the matchup. Give you my prediction, and I'll close it down. But before I really get into that, thank you guys so much for listening to me ramble for another week. I appreciate it. If you have not yet, make sure you check us out on all of your favorite social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Insta. I am also streaming on all of your favorite podcasting streaming sites, Apple, Stitcher, iHeart. You name it, you're listening to it, I'm on it. I would appreciate you guys give us a look there, subscribe, rate us 5 stars. It only gets the algorithm out there a little bit more and only helps me out and grow as a content creator. So that, guys, I'm just going to dive right into this thing. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, it is Rivalry Week. It is the 114th meeting between Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans. This weekend, actually, is the first time ever that they've both been 7-0 when facing each other. The 5th time that both teams are ranked within the top 10. It's the 69th meeting for the Paul Bunyan Trophy. Paul currently resides in East Lansing, where he will reside this weekend, after this weekend as well. Michigan currently leads the series 71-37-5. Kind of a cool side note here, game day, college game day, Fox Big Noon Kickoff, and Barstool will all be in East Lansing this weekend, hosting their respective sports college football programs. So a lot of excitement going on in East Lansing this weekend. I pity anyone who is trying to drive through Lansing this weekend, but I would love to be one of them tailgating this weekend. I think that's going to be one hell of a party. And where we're at, if think of Michigan State wins, I think you're going to see the glow from the couches down here in Three Rivers. So I'm going to be looking to the northeast a little bit come about 8:30 when trick-or-treating's wrapped up. So that, guys, like I said, I'm going to break down the keys to victory for Michigan State. I've got 3 each for each program. And I'll go ahead and lead off for Michigan State. I think the first one and the most important one is going to be limiting turnovers against Michigan. And also not limiting them, but making Michigan commit turnovers. I think you need to make Cade McNamara actually throw. Michigan has been largely successful running the ball this season, and you really haven't had to see Cade really air it out that much. And that means he's kind of an unproven passer. He's really hasn't had to be in that hostile of an environment. I mean, he was at Wisconsin earlier in the season, but that game was really never in any doubt. I think Michigan coming into East Lansing, I think it's going to be pretty big. There's a lot of press and excitement going into this matchup. And I think you need to force Cade to beat you. We'll see where that goes. I don't think Michigan has the weapons on the outside like Michigan State does, but I'll get into that in a little bit. second key victory for the Michigan State Spartans is obviously get Kenneth Walker going. He's a Heisman front runner for a reason. Excuse me. Kenneth is currently, before I get into that, 45, kind of a fun fact, 45 of the last 51 winners of this matchup finished the game with the most rushing yards. So I'll say it again, 45 of the last 51 winners of this matchup ended the game with the most rushing yards. So you look at this and you see you have Kenneth Walker, who is leading the nation with 142 rushing yards per game, second in the nation with 997 total yards per game. So I think for Michigan State, you obviously have to get Kenneth Walker going. You know Michigan's got a decent defense, and they're going to be loading the box. So that leads me to my last key to victory for Michigan State, and that is to test Michigan's defense. Michigan really hasn't been tested really at all this season. They've pretty much been in control the whole time. They haven't really had to play down. So I think if you're Michigan State, first thing you have to limit the big playability of Aiden Hutchinson. He's going to be a top five pick in April's draft. And I think you have to try to limit that as much as possible. I'm not saying you're going to be able to stop Aiden Hutchinson, because nobody has. He's a top five pick candidate for a reason. But I think if you can scheme around him, I think they're beatable. I think we also need to utilize our home run weapons with Michigan's defense. We have two of probably the most explosive playmakers in the Big Ten, maybe in the country, between Jaden Reed and Jalen Naylor. I think you have to utilize the home run potential if you're Michigan State. Like I said, test their defense, test their secondary. I mean, their secondary has looked incredible this season. Dax Hill playing safety is all over the field. I think you have to test that, because you're not, if you're going to load the box, you're going to have to go one-on-one with those two athletes on the outside. And if you go double coverage, that means you're leaving the box a little more open for Kenneth Walker. So that sets up a very good game plan for Mel Tucker and Michigan State going into Saturday. So then my next, I will jump right into the key to victory for Michigan. I think for Michigan, the first one is an obvious one. It's to dominate the line of scrimmage. I said, you know, utilizing your defensive line and moving Aiden Hutchinson all over that line. You know, maybe putting him in a little bit of nose, putting him in at left, putting him into the right end, maybe even letting him stand up a little bit and getting a head start against Michigan State. Michigan State's got a very good offensive line, a very experienced offensive line, but we haven't really faced a guy like Aiden Hutchinson yet this year. So I think that's going to be a key for Michigan, to get him involved and figure out how to move him around and shift him around in formations to kind of give Michigan an unfair advantage. Also, with utilizing the or dominating line of scrimmage, that means forcing Kenneth Walker to be slowed down, loading the box. Indiana University gave Michigan a very good blueprint of what to do against Michigan State. Very much, they loaded the box and they forced Kenneth. They shut Kenneth Walker down. I mean, he rushed for 89 yards. I mean, which is admirable, but it's not what he's used to doing. I believe he was like 3.6 yards a carry. So he made him look very human. And I think Michigan's got the guys to do that and play well. But when you do that, the next part of that is going to be forcing Peyton Thorne to beat you. Peyton Thorne also big for the home run ball. But he's another one that hasn't really been tested that much. He was tested against IU and he didn't look good. I don't know if it's Michigan State's looking ahead to this weekend's matchup or what exactly happened there, but Peyton Thorne is going to have his hands full against a good Michigan secondary. I think that's going to allow your secondary roam, utilize Dax Hill, utilize your corners. And you could make it a nightmare. If you can neutralize Reed Naylor, you've got a really good shot this weekend, because that we hit the home run ball and we hit it a lot. And then lastly, I think offensively for Michigan is obviously unleashing the two-headed monster that is Corum and Hassan Haskins. Corum and Haskins are probably the best 1-2 combo in all of college football. Both, I believe, are averaging over 100 yards a game rushing, which is incredible. Actually, Michigan's backfield, I don't know if you guys remember it, but this backfield reminds me a lot of the Darren McFadden and Felix Jones backfield from Arkansas. I think that was like 2005, 2006, something like that. That's what this backfield reminds me a lot. It's a little bit of thunder and lightning. You've got Haskins, who's the absolute hammer, who will just plow guys over. We saw it against Northwestern. One of the most notable runs for him was he looked like he stopped at the line of scrimmage, and he ended up pulling the whole just mob of players to a first down, which was incredibly impressive. And then you got Corum, Blake Corum, that he's kind of like that Felix Jones role. Like, he's shifty, he's quick, he's athletic, and he's a punishing runner too. So I think for Michigan, if you can get those two going, that could open up play action, maybe J.J. McCarthy makes an appearance this weekend and finally airs the ball out. I know Craig, avid listener, he's really hoping to see that this weekend. And you might see J.J. come in and really air the ball out. Last weekend, you saw him come in against Northwestern, and he just handed the ball off. That could be a prequel to this weekend of Harbaugh kind of playing games with Michigan State and allowing him to air the ball out. So we'll see on that side of things too. Taking all the things considered, I'm going to be a homer here. I'm going to take Michigan State 27-21. Paul stays home in East Lansing. I think this is probably one of the biggest, best matchups Michigan State have had in a very long time. I think the last time we were both ranked in the top 10 playing each other, I believe was like 1967. So it's been a very long time. I mean, that's what, 54 years? Yeah, 54 years. So, I mean, that's something. These teams are just so evenly matched. I mean, your running backs, I mean, you've got Kenneth Walker, you got Corum and Haskins, and quarterback play kind of unproven, but you've got the athletes. I think I'm just going to go, I'll go position by position and tell you who I think's got the nod. Quarterback, I'm going to take Michigan State with Peyton Thorne. Running backs, I think it's a tie, even though you've got that two-headed monster. I would almost lean a little bit more towards Michigan because Elijah Collins really hasn't established himself as much as that number two option. Receivers, I'm going to take Michigan State. I think they're more explosive, bigger playability. Offensive line, I'm going to take Michigan State. Defensive line, I'm going to take Michigan just because of Aiden Hutchinson. Linebacking core, I'm going to take Michigan State. And then secondary, I'll take Michigan. Special teams, as long as you got Coughlin, I think you've got an all-time great kicker for Michigan State. I'm going to take Michigan State on that side, and I feel like Michigan State kick and punt return-wise are a little more explosive. Excuse me. But you guys could argue with me on that on social media, which you're more than welcome to. So, yeah, with all that being said, I do think Michigan State wins 27-21. I think it's going to be a classic slugfest. I just think Michigan is going to struggle to eliminate the big play. Harbaugh's play calling to me is very vanilla, and everything we've seen from Mel Tucker's team this year is not. They're willing to do the trick plays. They're willing to do things to make their opponent get a little wobbly on defense. So I think because of that, and we have the athletes to do it, I think Mel Tucker wins. But now going into this game, Michigan State players aren't paying any mind, which Michigan, the state of Michigan media, and I'm not saying University of Michigan or anything like that, are really trying to push this narrative that Mel Tucker is going to leave to LSU come this fall or whatever, because Ed Orgeron agreed not to come back. But we'll see. Mel's denied it. Obviously, he would deny it. He said he's focusing on Michigan. We know he would say that. So I think that narrative out there kind of adds a little excitement to this matchup. Ultimately, Mel knows more than anybody what's going to happen. Personally, I think Michigan State's finally in a spot where they will pay out their coach. And I think Mel's probably going to get paid if he stays at Michigan State this year. He's going to get paid. If he didn't, I would say maybe you'd look at maybe Luke Fickell again, Campbell, somebody like that. But we'll get there if something ever happens with it, because we just don't know. LSU wants an established winner. Mel's kind of building that resume now. So I don't think Mel would be a good fit in LSU just because of that. But Mel is one hell of a recruiter. And I mean, the excitement he's brought to the Michigan State program in year two has been incredible. But we'll see. So what do you guys think? Who do you think is going to win this matchup? Let me know once I release this podcast. It should be coming up tomorrow. Watershed Voice will be pushing it through onto their website as well. I would love to hear who you guys think are going to win. Let me know once I post it. I'm going to be posting it on the podcast page, Twitter, Insta. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. Let me know what you think. I would love to hear them. We can talk about it. Maybe tell me who your key players are. And if you are also an avid listener, I'm going to be putting it on some local, I guess, information pages as well. So I'd love to hear from you guys. But with that, I hope you guys have a wonderful Halloween week. It's starting to get a little bit colder. Leaves are finally starting to fall. And Lions are 0-7 right now, actually going Sunday and Halloween to watch them get their first victory of the season. Mark it down against the Eagles. But with that, guys, be safe. Have a fun week. Stay safe out there. Take care of each other. More than anything, tell somebody you love them. I'll talk to you guys soon. Go Green.